All right, so let's dive into this. Today, we're looking at something pretty interesting in contract law. Basically, how one agreement can kind of pull in all the terms of another one, even if, you never actually sign that second document.
Sounds messy.
Yeah, it can be. And that's why we're focusing on this case, Transamerica Premier Insurance versus Collins and Company. Now, this might sound a little
A
dry,
bit.
but trust me, if
Yeah.
you're going into any legal field, especially anything with contracts or construction, this is huge.
Yeah.
This case, it really shows how a simple performance bond, the thing meant to guarantee a subcontractor does their work, it can actually drag a surety company into arbitration.
And arbitration, for anyone listening who isn't quite there yet, that's a way of resolving disputes outside of the traditional court system.
Exactly. So the big question we're tackling is, can a company that issues a bond be forced into arbitration just because that bond refers to another contract with an arbitration clause?
So it's like a chain reaction almost.
Exactly. So to really grasp this, we need to go back to 1987. We have Collins and Company, they're a general contractor, and they hire Roswell Steel for a construction project.
Okay, standard stuff so far.
Right. But their subcontract had this clear rule. Any disagreements, they go straight to arbitration. No courtrooms. Now, to make sure Roswell actually did the job, Transamerica, Premier Insurance, they issued a performance bond. Basically, promised Collins that if Roswell failed, Transamerica would step in to make things right.
A safety net. Got it.
Yeah, exactly. But here's where it gets interesting. This bond, it specifically said, and I quote, "The subcontract is hereby referred to and made a part hereof."
Uh-oh. That sounds like a pretty strong link.
It is. And you can guess what happened next. A
Yeah.
dispute pops up between Collins and Roswell. Collins says, "Hey, Transamerica, you're in on this. We're going to arbitration." Transamerica, not so happy about it. They're arguing, "Hold on, we only signed the bond, not that subcontract with its arbitration clause."
I bet that didn't fly.
Nope. Things escalated and landed them in federal court in Georgia in 1990. So we have this situation, right? Two agreements, the subcontract between the contractor and subcontractor, and the bond involving the surety company. Transamerica, by issuing that bond with that specific language about the subcontract, they stepped right into this existing agreement.
It's almost like they signed the subcontract without realizing it.
In a way, yeah. The court had to figure out this thing called incorporation by reference. Essentially, when Transamerica's bond specifically pulled in that subcontract, it wasn't just a casual mention. Legally speaking, all those terms in the subcontract, including the arbitration clause, they became part of the bond's agreement too.
So even though they didn't sign the subcontract directly, by referencing it so explicitly in their bond, they effectively agreed to all its terms. That's a big deal.
Huge. And the court really hammered home this point. If you bring another document into your agreement like that, you're bound by what's in it.
Yeah.
No loopholes.
It's a good reminder for anyone drafted contracts, be careful what you reference. You might be signing up for more than you bargained for.
Absolutely. And this is where it gets even more interesting, especially if you're thinking about a legal career. The court leaned heavily on the federal policy that favors arbitration, the FAA, the Federal Arbitration Act.
Right, the FAA, it pushes for resolving disputes through arbitration instead of going through lengthy court battle.
Exactly. And it basically tells courts to interpret any fuzzy language in a contract as leaning towards arbitration. Now, in this case, the arbitration clause in the original subcontract between Collins and Roswell, it was very broad. It covered, and I quote, "all claims, disputes, and other matters related to the agreement."
So pretty much anything and everything related to that project would go to arbitration.
Pretty much. And because Transamerica's bond incorporated that entire subcontract, well, that broad intention for arbitration, it extended to them too, even though they weren't an original party to it. The court basically said, look, if you're incorporating the whole document, you're incorporating how they agreed to settle disagreements too, especially when it's arbitration, which we generally prefer.
It's interesting how these policies really shape legal outcomes. It's not just about the black and white of a contract, it's about the bigger context, too.
Exactly. Now, naturally, Transamerica tried to argue their way out of this whole arbitration thing. They pointed to a part in the bond that talked about any suit being filed within 2 years. They argued that this implied they were only agreeing to traditional litigation in a courtroom, not arbitration.
Clever, but did it work?
Not really. The court said suit is a pretty broad term, doesn't automatically exclude arbitration. Plus, they said forcing Transamerica into arbitration, it actually lined up with the original intent of the subcontract between Collins and Roswell. Remember, that's the agreement Transamerica essentially absorbed by incorporating it into their bond. Judge Hall, who wrote the opinion, he specifically pointed to that incorporation clause. He said it showed the surety company, Transamerica, intended to be bound by everything in that subcontract, including the arbitration bid.
So their attempt to sidestep arbitration using a more general term didn't hold up against the very specific act of incorporating the whole subcontract.
Right. And to be clear, this wasn't some random out there decision. The court looked at past legal precedents, like U.S. Fidelity versus West Point Construction, a very similar case, and the court there also said a surety company was bound by an arbitration clause in a contract brought in through their bond. It shows a pattern, a trend in federal courts, especially in construction cases, to enforce these arbitration agreements.
So consistency is key. Courts building on established precedents. It gives a clear signal to everyone involved in these types of contracts about what to expect. And predictability, as you know, is really important in law. It helps people understand their obligations and, you know, avoid these messy situations in the first place.
Exactly. So for anyone listening who might work with surety bonds, this case is a huge red flag. Read everything carefully. If a bond incorporates another contract, understand every single clause in that agreement, including how they're going to handle disputes.
Due diligence is everything. You need to know exactly what you're getting into. Because as this case shows, you might be agreeing to terms in another document without even realizing it.
Right. And for those who write these kinds of legal documents, be super precise. If a client wants to avoid arbitration, spell that out clearly in the bond, even if the main contract has an arbitration clause. This case really drives home how specific language in contracts, combined with federal policy, can create this strong push towards arbitration. The Transamerica decision, it wasn't just about resolving their specific dispute. It solidified this idea that arbitration is the preferred way to handle these things in federal court.
It set a precedent. It clarified the rules of the game. And in law, that's incredibly valuable.
So, stepping back, what's the big picture here? This case, Transamerica Premier Insurance versus Collins & Company, it really shows the power of incorporation by reference, this idea that you can pull in a whole other document just by mentioning it. And it underscores the huge importance of careful contract review and being super clear in how you wrote these things, especially with surety bonds.
It's a reminder that contracts are living documents, and the way they interact can have major implications.
Right. I mean, think about it. If a simple reference can legally tie you to a whole other contract, what other surprises might be hiding in the agreements you work with?
It's a question worth pondering, for sure.
It really is. And it brings up another big question. How can legal professionals make sure everyone involved in a contract is truly aware of and agrees to all the ways they might have to resolve disputes? Because sometimes those methods are tucked away in other documents that are pulled in through these references.
Absolutely. It's a crucial point for everyone in the field. Because ultimately, clarity and informed consent, they're at the heart of any sound legal agreement.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Well, on that note, that's our deep dive for today. Lots to think about, for sure.
Indeed. Until next time.